morning here in what I call a one-time service, one-time message, not part of a series. We'll be starting a series next week here on the Bible and on what's being taught here on at church as well. How many folks enjoyed last week our guest minister named Greg Kyler? You enjoyed him? You guys blessed him with an offering of $950, so God bless you folks for being generous to him. He appreciates that, says thank you for that. And he's just got a great heart, a pastor's heart, a teacher's heart, but also an apostolic edge on him as well. I see him going with us overseas also, doing some ministry in other countries. He'll be back here again at Tree of Life. He's always welcome to be here. Also, on Wednesday night, we had another guest speaker. This was David Woodard, and he came here with a message, just talking here and ministering on the realm of the discerning of spirits. And we saw God do a lot of one-on-one things in that ministry with him. He's very, very strong working in ministry with one-on-one people in the altars. We was here until 10 o'clock that night praying for folks, and God did some tremendous things in people's lives and hearts, confirmed some things, broke some things loose. And I appreciate David coming here and being with us on Wednesday night. So I'm talking this morning here about forming divine connections, I really believe that God wants us, as you heard the message even last week as well, to be those who understand that above everything else on the earth, the most important commandment of all is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, relationship. And then he says, the second one's like this, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. No matter what, the Bible says, no matter what fear we face in life, it says perfect love of God, agape love of God, does what? It casts down all fear. There's many things happening in the world seen around us, and I see also prophetically how there's also an acceleration taking place before Jesus Christ comes back. What took place, what took sometimes 10, 15, 20 years in the past to happen prophetically is now happening in 10, 15, 20 months or 20 days even. We're seeing things in the world scene changing and accelerating there, and we're seeing even scripture fulfilled right before our eyes in dramatic, accelerated fashion, it seems like on a daily, weekly, and a monthly basis as well. So God's telling us, though fearful things happen around us in these last days, my perfect love will cast down every fear you might face, also even in the last days. We also face fears sometimes in our marriages. We face fears sometimes about our job, about security of our job and our employment. Fears about our nation's government, our leaders of our government, what kind of decisions are going to be making for us and about us in the future as well. But God says again, perfect love casts down fear. So when God first made man, God declared it is not good that man should live alone. And all the men said, amen. Praise God for Eve. And praise God for every woman who was actually made after Eve. Amen. I heard a joke months and months and months ago that said something like, whenever God made Adam, he stood back and he said, I can do better. And he made Eve. Amen. But the fact is, we'd all need men and women, fathers and mothers, their function, their role, their strengths, their weaknesses. When they come together, God brings forth a mighty thing upon the earth. Amen. And so we honor our men, we honor our women. The good thing, news is they're both made in God's image, God's likeness. They all have the same Spirit of God living inside of them, and they still can do great exploits for God upon the earth. God says it's not good that man should dwell alone. And so he said, we're going to make a woman who might be compatible for him. We're going to speak this morning here now on three areas that God wants to bring forth, I believe, revelation, impartation of divine connections in these three areas of our lives. So let's start now, first of all, reading from Genesis chapter 29. Those who've been here for a few years, they understand, again, this book I'm still writing. I'm on chapter 4 right now, writing this book called The Progressive Christian Life. It talks about the 12 tribes of Israel. How the Holy Spirit showed me back in 1980, back when I was going to Bible school, actually it was about 83. I was in Bible school in Waxahachie. I was reading the New International Version Bible. I began to read the birthing of the tribes and the sons of Jacob that became the tribes of Israel. And of course, Jacob had four mothers whose names were Leah and Rachel, the wives. Then their concubines, whose names were Zilpah and Bilhah. And the Bible says that Leah had weak eyes. But because Jacob was a deceiver from birth, because he sowed deception, he reaped deception. On his wedding night, he found in his bedroom the next day, not Rachel, who he loved so much, but he found Leah, the sister of Rachel, who had weak eyes, not quite as beautiful as she was. The same love for her was not there in his heart. So he had to work for 7 more years to receive his real wife, the one he loved so much, whose name was Rachel. But the bad thing was, those 7 years, he showed total rejection to Leah. He didn't want to sleep with her, didn't want to be with her, didn't want to show love to her, didn't want to hug her, caress her, didn't speak words of life to her. She went through 7 years of torture and torment by a rejecting husband all that time. She was accumulating all kinds of pain and hurts and bruises and wounds, and she had no children by him. The Bible says here now in Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, not loved, he opened her womb, and Rachel, she was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction, and now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again, bore a son, and said, because the Lord has now heard that I am unloved, he has therefore now given me this one also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again, verse 34, and bore another son, third son, and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Now, I want to talk about these first 3 sons, laying a foundation briefly before I go into Ruth chapter 1 about forming divine relationships to see the importance of this, because the Holy Spirit began to show me the meanings of the names of the tribes of Israel, these sons. They actually show us the progression that God wants us to go through from the time that we're born again to the time we see Jesus Christ face to face. Now, what was that first son's name? His name was Reuben. Reuben was born to Leah. What does the name Reuben mean? The Bible also says, may everything be established by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. When you see God confirm things in 2 or 3 ways, it means it is firmly established as far as God's word is concerned. And God is saying, prick up your ears. Take attention, take note here. I'm going to show you an important Bible truth here because I'm going to confirm this thing by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. I began to find through research that all these tribes have got a meaning to their name, but also a symbol attached to them, and also a gemstone in the breastplate of Aaron the high priest. There's 12 stones of the tribes of Israel that also gives to us confirmation of what their name means in the progressions of Christians from the time they're born again to the time they see Christ as Lord and Savior. The name Reuben, 2 words there, Reu and Ben. The word Reu means God has seen my trouble. God has seen my misery. God has seen my sorrow. God has seen my affliction, and God is erasing that thing from me. The word Ben, Reuben, actually means see a son. It means new beginnings. It means a son is born. Reuben means God has seen my affliction, God has seen my misery. My misery is no more because now a son is born. How many folks know that all talks about what? Being born again by the power of Jesus Christ. God saw you and I in our affliction, in our misery, in our lostness, our hopelessness, and he said, if you'll call upon my name now, I'll come inside of you, I'll sup with you, you'll sup with me in a spiritual type sense, I'll wash your sins away, I'll be your God, I'll be your Father, and I'll say, see a son in the kingdom of God. The Bible says all heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ, even more so than 500 others don't need to get saved. God loves salvation. God loves the born again experience. Amen. That's why he sent Jesus Christ on the earth. What's the symbol for Reuben that confirms this? The symbol of Reuben is called the rising sun. More recently, it's also been named a blossoming mandrake plant. A sun rising over the horizon and a mandrake blossoming. What's the Bible say about this? It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It starts out at dawn, getting brighter and brighter until the full day. So God's telling us here about the blossoming plant that being born again is all about new beginnings. Things are blossoming out. Things are starting. Things are beginning. But salvation is not the end of your walk with God. It's just the beginning. Amen? How many folks are glad the sun doesn't just kind of rise over the horizon a little bit and then stay right there all day? How many folks are glad that it gets brighter and higher till finally noonday comes and full brightness and full sunshine takes place? And God said, that's also your life. Who are born again by the power of God, your light shall shine brighter and brighter and brighter till the full day. You'll see your destiny come to pass. You'll see your giftings come out. You'll see your anointing increase. You'll see favor go forth from your life. I'm going to open up windows of heaven to you, brighter and brighter, says God, till the full day takes place in your life. What's a gemstone on Aaron's breastplate for Reuben? It's actually called the sardius stone. The sardius stone is also known as the odem, which comes from the name Adam. Now, what color do you think the sardius stone might be? It's a color of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Jews used the sardius stone, the odem, as a seal to take and put wax on to seal envelopes because wax does not stick to the odem or the sardius stone. What's God's word say about that? It says that the blood of my son is a seal that seals you into adoption as children of the Most High God. You are sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All these symbols, all these gemstones, all this name of Reuben talks about being born again, getting out of your misery, and going into the realms of light and truth and power and strength in Jesus' name. Second son born now. The next progression for Christians, number two, is Simeon. What's the name Simeon mean? It means one who hears God's voice. God wants his believers to be hearing his voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me because they're hearing what I'm saying. Amen? In this hour and season, we need to be those that are hearing what God is saying to us by his power, by his grace, and by his spirit. What do you think the symbol might be for Simeon? The symbol is actually found from Judges. I give them to the Jewish, mystery Jewish tribe later on, a few hundred years later on. It's actually the pitcher and the dagger of Gideon. Remember back whenever Gideon was going to fight the Midianites, God told Gideon, take and don't rely upon your might, your power, and your strength. Hear my voice, says God. I want you guys to go to the Midianite camp with 300 men only. They number tens of thousands. You guys number 300. You cannot beat them by your might, by your power, and by your strength. How many folks realize we can't beat the devil in our might, our power, and our strength? We have one that lives in us that is greater than the one that lives in the world. His name is Jesus Christ, Lord of all, King of all, the God of all the heavens. He lives in us. He's for us. He's going to work to do great miracles even through us as well in this hour, this season. And so this symbol here called the pitcher of the dagger shows a story of how Gideon's men were told, take a earthen clay vessel, pitcher in your hands, represents your own body, your own flesh, put a flaming torch, the Spirit of God, inside that earthen vessel, get a trumpet in your right hand, put your sword to your side, and put a trumpet now in your right hand. And when I say blow the trumpet, you guys all together in unity, blow the trumpet, and then break your earthen vessels and bring forth the torch and the fire and the light of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then say and confess and speak out these words, a sword for the Lord and the sword of Gideon. That's a whole message there in itself. What's being said there, though, is we cannot defeat the powers of darkness by our strength, our intelligence, our college degrees, and so forth. We only do that by hearing the voice of God and obeying what God says to do in us and through us. Amen? They won the battle that day, the Bible says, and they did this. They blew the trumpets. They shattered the earthen vessels. The torch and the light came out of God's presence. It says the enemies of Midian began to take and destroy each other and turn their swords on one another and killed each other and defeated each other as Satan will always do when God is in control. You're going to find that Satan will always attack himself and his own people when God wins battles and God wins victories. What do you think the gemstone might be in Aaron's breastpiece for Simeon? It's the topaz crystal. And, of course, the crystal is the thing that's used all throughout the entire world for two-way communication there. It is used to give us electronics and all of our CB radios, all of our radios, all electronics there is all about two-way communication. The third son born now, number three, is about today. That son's name is Levi. Levi means attached, united with, closely knit to, bound to. The third progression for all Christian believers is to be closely knit, bound to, and knit to something upon the earth. I'm going to say those three things today. I'm going to go through some details on that because I believe we're in that progression right now ourselves as a church, Levi, being attached, being joined to, joined with, closely knit together. The symbol of Levi is actually the breastplate of the high priest that is actually attached to the high priest by some metal chains right there near his heart. The interesting thing also is that breastplate upon Aaron's chest has those 12 stones attached to it. Nothing can actually make it move or waver. It's set there fastened very, very tightly. And also it's exactly a span in length and in width. What's a span? A span is a length from your thumb to your little finger when your hand is extended out like this. Talks about God's mighty hand is over the people of God represented by the 12 tribes of Israel, fastened to the high priest's chest, close to the heart of God himself, attached there by even chains, so it will not be moved by anything it faces on the face of the earth. We are those of Levi, attached by the power of the Holy Spirit to God. Nothing separates us from his love. His grace is always upon us, and God will always be with us till the end of the earth. The Bible tells us that. What do you think the gemstone might be of Levi? The gemstone is a stone called the carbuncle. And the carbuncle is also called the garnet. The carbuncle and the garnets are both also of the same color as the blood of Jesus Christ. The interesting thing here, though, is the word garnet comes from the word pomegranate, pomegranate fruit. The pomegranate fruit, when it's cut open, you might have seen this sometime yourself in your own kitchen, is the flesh inside is a color, again, of blood. And there's many, many seeds inside the flesh of the pomegranate fruit. All those many seeds are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. What God is saying to you and I is, whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Charismatic, Pentecostal, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with him. Those who call upon his name and are born again all belong to the same God, the same Lord, and the same Savior. Amen. So God says there's many tribes that all are kind of different in some ways, but they all are covered by the same blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ himself. Also notice this. That's those two stones, the carbuncle, the garnet, and then back in Reuben, with again this thing called the sardius stone, all of the same color representing the blood of Jesus Christ, they do two different things. In Reuben, the blood seals us into God's kingdom, into adoption as a son or daughter of God, and calls us now born again. It calls us cleansed. It calls us free from sin. It calls us out of misery into light in Jesus' name. Now we go to the realm of Levi. This blood now speaks about being joined together to God and to others by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I can spend a whole lot of time here kind of diverting in some way. I can't do that for time's sake this morning. But the fact is, many believers in Christ, many Christians, spend most of their lives in the camp of Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, their entire lives. They seem to go from affliction to affliction, from misery to misery. And they find themselves going from altar call to altar call, always needing help all the time, not hearing God's voice. If you're not hearing God's voice, it's probably because there might be inside your own mind and heart some undealt with rejections, some pains, some hurts, some bruises, some wounds, some things there that are not yet under the blood of Jesus Christ yet being delivered out of those things. Rejection, pain, agony, the past, abuse, and all these things, they've all been purchased and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God is saying, please, spend time with me, spend time with my people, get healed of those past wounds and hurts and bruises, and move beyond that and start hearing my voice, says the Lord. And Leah heard God's voice and said, surely I'm hearing God's voice now. Surely my husband will now love me as a person should be loved, as a wife to this man. Once you're hearing God's voice, the third thing that takes place is then divine attachments. The reason so many folks go through marriages, local churches, jobs, cities, villages, neighborhoods, bounce around from place to place, is they're not hearing God's voice to begin with. They're not also healed many times of past wounds and bruises and hurts and so forth. And God wants Tree of Life Church to be a place where folks can come full of all kinds of bruises and hurts and wounds and see God's healing power take place in their lives to bring soundness and wholeness back in their lives once again. Then hear God's voice. So no matter what offense might take place, no matter what bruise or wound takes place in your future or present, you can see yourself going past that because I'm hearing what God says about this person, this thing, this circumstance, this boss, this business, this place, in Jesus' name. Amen? The fourth son, I'm going to involve us today, the fourth son was named what to Leah? Judah. We all know what Judah means. Judah means praise. God is saying you cannot have worship and praise in spirit and truth until you first of all go through three progressions first. Getting free of your past, hearing God's voice, and being attached to God and others through that. There then comes eventually praise and worship in spirit and in truth because these things are foundational in your life. Let's turn now to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, Ruth 1. I'm going to get involved in these three main connections that God wants to speak about this morning from Ruth chapter 1 and Ruth chapter 2, right after the book of Judges. It's interesting to note that before Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, if you see the verse before that, last verse of Judges, what's it say? Everyone did as they saw fit in their own eyes. Isn't that the cry of our nation? The cry of the nations, the cry of mankind today is, I will do fit as I see fit in my own eyes. My reasonings, my understandings, my intelligence shall rule me, and I shall be a law unto myself. But in that verse was actually spoken out and given there in Judges, last verse of that, on comes God's mercy and God's grace to birth a thing called Ruth. And Ruth gives us divine principles about being connected divinely in the way that God wants. Number one, on the screen here as well, write these things down for, again, take-home points. The first way that God wants us connected is connected to people, to people. Let's read now Ruth chapter 1, verse 8, starting in verse 8. We see now that the seed bearers have all died. The husbands of Orpah, Ruth, Naomi have all died. Orpah and Naomi are sisters-in-law. Naomi is their mother. And you're going to find, again, like I said in the past, that all the Old Testament is given to us as types and shadows for New Testament truth. And so these people, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, are all the three main characters of this book. And they all are representing different people in the spiritual realm. Ruth represents you and I, Christian believers. Naomi represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always draws people to Jesus Christ. You realize whenever Ruth's husband died and Ruth clung to Naomi and followed Naomi, Naomi took her to a place called Ephrath. Ephrath is Bethlehem, the place where Jesus Christ saw man face to face as a human for the first time. The Holy Spirit's always drawing people to Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God for the Holy Spirit. So in this story here, when you see Ruth, it's you and I. When you see Naomi, it's the Holy Spirit. When you see Boaz, it's a kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, God the Father as well, in Boaz's name in this story. Verse 8, and Naomi said to her Ruth, or to her two daughters-in-law, go return each one of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. And so she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. And they said back to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they might become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also even bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown up? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then it says they lift up their voices, they wept again, and notice this, Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. You've all probably heard a message at some point in your lives, if you've been in church very long, about the kissers and the cleavers. How some will cleave and some will kiss and say goodbye when bad things take place, bad things happen. And the sad thing was, Orpah, the Bible says, going on and reading this, when she kissed Naomi goodbye, she went back to her gods and back to her people both, back to her old way of sinful life. Once again, that's an unfortunate thing. But the Bible says Ruth was clinging to her. You're going to find that God always forms divine connections for people all throughout the entire Bible. Amen? Look at Abraham. Abraham had Lot. David had Jonathan. Ruth had Naomi. Jesus had 12 disciples. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes out from that fast in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he finds Peter, James, John, and all the other folks that are disciples that became his disciples to follow with him on his 3.5 years on the earth. We find that Paul the Apostle had Barnabas. We find that even God the Father has Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. God made us in his image, his likeness. God's a God of connections, a God of relationship, and God is saying to us this morning, we must be connected divinely even to people in our lives. Amen? God created us also to connect with him and also his people. You're going to find that the Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight, but two does what? Two puts 10,000 to flight. You can always do more in teams and together than you ever can do by yourself. Because God works exponentially, 1,000 to 10,000 as God does it. Also, sometime in your own reading time, read Psalm 133 sometime. Psalm 133 talks about how when brethren gather together in unity, it is like the anointing of God, oil of God, flowing down Aaron's head, flowing down his beard, down his robes, right down to his feet. And it says he commands a blessing when there's divine unity like this forevermore. God says unity, God says being connected brings in anointing, it brings in grace, it brings in favor, it brings in blessings every single time. God uses your friends, God uses people, God uses connections to get his kingdom's work done upon the earth. Amen? So, referencing back to last week's message by Brother Greg Kyler, he said three things to us. He said, first of all, what? Be ye kind one to another. How many folks have found yourself being kinder this week? To your dog, your cat, at least, hopefully wife, husband, son, daughter, stepchild. God says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. I love that message last week about that. That's part of this whole thing today as well. God's following up on that this morning. Second thing he said was what? He said, forgiving one another. I like what he said, that Jesus Christ, in the lowest moments of his whole life, on the cross, in pain, rejection, and agony, at that point he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't wait for heaven. Resurrection, glorified body, healing in his own self. He said, right at my lowest, most painful part, at that point I say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That struck me right in the heart because I realized through that I can't wait till I feel right to forgive folks who wounded me, harmed me, betrayed me, and done things against me. Right in the middle of my pain, I must choose to forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen? And I pray that stuck in your heart as well. Don't wait till things you feel like forgiving. You forgive when you don't feel like it. You forgive right when there's severe pain by betrayal and rejection inside your own life. At that point, God's saying, you forgive, and I resurrect. Amen? Third thing he said to us was receiving each other. And he said that we can receive those that are actually needy, rub us the wrong way, and are like iron sharpening iron and like fingernails on chalkboards. That's a real bad thing. Amen? But he also said a very powerful thing. Also receive those with more gifting than you've got yourself. Those who intimidate you, those who may threaten your position, even those folks, receive them, make way for them, bless them, and say, please, brother or sister, be all that God wants you to be. Be better than I am at this as you are. Use your giftings and talents for God's glory. I will not stand in your way. Amen. I believe God wants to bring in people here, not just here, but all over our country and city as well, that are people of giftings, people that are millionaires, those that have great charisma sometimes as well, perhaps, and say, let me use my giftings and callings under a submissive type of spirit and see what God can do in me and through me by his grace and by his power. I want you to write down four things today also. Write these things down if you have pencil and paper, because you won't memorize these at all. They're very, very strong, powerful, important points about four phases every relationship goes through. That lasts on the earth. These are four things every relationship goes through. Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, bosses, employers, pastors, congregation members, staff members. We all go through these four things for healthy, long-lasting relationships. They're also all four found by Peter's denial of Jesus Christ. The first, number one, write this down. Divine connection. Peter is found by Jesus by divine connection. Amen? The Bible says Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, come out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by God. He finds two men catching fish named Peter and I believe James. So Peter found Jesus by divine connection. I got to believe God at Tree of Life Church on this Sunday morning. I think it's the 24th of February. All the folks around us are here because of divine connections. There are lifelong friends sitting around you right now in Jesus' name. You may not have discovered that yet. You may not even know that yet. But I'm saying those who are friendly will have friends. I encourage you guys to do what the pastor said last week. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, and receiving one another in Jesus' name, that you might find divine connections take place right here in the Tree of Life Church. Amen. You folks that are over there, there might be somebody over there that you guys need to know better, okay? So I'm saying, I'm encouraged. I'm hearing more and more reports about folks that are inviting each other out for lunch, inviting each other over for cards and sanctified type games, and doing things for movies and events and activities. We need more motorcycle riders in the church as well. You guys need to get your license here to ride motorcycles, and we'll do more of that as well. So I'm saying we're getting people doing that more and more and more in our church. And praise God, we're also seeing here, I believe, a birthing of a new life group in our church. We're seeing the single ladies get together more and more with the help also. People like Nancy Taylor. And so I'm saying I see things happening here this year to bring in divine connections. If you say, well, nobody seems to be friendly in that church, I'm saying it's because you're not being friendly. The Bible says those who prove themselves to be friendly will always have friends. There is not one church in this city, I promise you this right now, that I can't make a friend in that church. I promise you right now. I can go to any church in this city, and I can make friends in that church. Amen? So I've learned to love people more than I love even myself. Okay? So think about what you need, your wants, so forth. You'll have no friends in life. You got to get out of your own self and realize that God loves you, God's for you, God's in you, God's going to move in your life, and God wants you to be a friendly person to get friends in life. In Jesus' name, okay? That's number one. Number two is a word, distortion. Divine connection takes place. Honeymoons happen. I like this guy. I like this girl. We like each other. We're good friends, good buds, good dating partners. And so the honeymoon takes place for a season. Then comes distortion because then Jesus Christ, who's doing miracles, signs, and wonders, parting the crowds, trying to kill him off the brow of a hill one day, all of a sudden he tells Peter and disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem now and be killed and crucified. Shifting, distortion. Peter says, well, I see you in my brain as the King of Kings. I see you as Master, Savior. I see you as Conqueror, Ruler. I see miracles, demons being cast. I see crowds parting. I see no harm coming to your feet, your hands, or anything about your whole body. And you're saying now to me, you're going to give yourself down and die on a cross. And distortion takes place. And Peter pulls him aside and says, let it not be so, Lord. And Jesus Christ says, get behind me, Satan. You have not got in mind the things of God's kingdom and God's spirit. That probably has also even energized Peter even more so to say, this guy might have lost it. Distortion takes place. There's something wrong here. I don't see the same Savior as I saw before. This is all being distorted. The third thing, number three, is then conflict takes place and happens. Conflict. That's where Peter finds that the crowds come, the mob comes, the soldiers come, they drag Jesus Christ away, crucify him, the crowd yells, and Peter denies he even knows Jesus Christ and goes back to his old way of life, catching fish all over again. That's where conflict and separation takes place and happens. And then, by the grace of God, Jesus Christ does what he does on the cross. He dies. The third day he raises up again from the dead, resurrects. And the Bible says, then comes to Peter, who's just caught a great big amount of fish. And he says to Peter, do you love me more than these? If you do, he says it three times, feed my sheep. Recommissioning. Every love story, every chick flick has those four things in it. All of them. I saw one yesterday, blessing my daughter here. And it was pretty good. But I saw their divine connection take place. They thought she murdered her husband and hadn't. Finds this really hunky-looking, nice-looking guy out by Cape Cod. That's where all the guys are at, girls, out by Cape Cod. Finds him. They begin to flirt around and end up getting together as boyfriend and girlfriend. Then distortion takes place. He sees her name in the police office, and it says wanted for first-degree murder with her picture on it. That's distortion. What's going on here? She goes, you're a murderer. You're one of our first degree murder. Leave the house. Leave my presence. Leave my children. Oh, my Lord. Distortion takes place. And then conflict happens. And she separates. She says, yes, I am a scumbag. And she hauls off and is walking towards the dock and going towards the ferry to leave his presence forever. And every love story, chick flick movie has got airports, bus terminals, ferries, canoes, speedboats, parachutes. They've all got some tool of separation in them, amen? And they all die a death, and it's all over, and it's all finished. But then, by the grace of God, the man chases her down It's either an airport or it's a bus terminal or it's a ferry or whatever. And right before she gets on the ferry and it takes off, he catches her. I was wrong. You were right. They were lying. You're not a murderer. Recommissioning takes place. Lips are locking. Till death do us part, they're going to get married. Live happily ever after. Amen. What God is saying to you and I is, though, what we need in the body of Christ is more of the recommissioning phase among believers. Too many folks are stopping with the conflict and the separation, and they end right there. A life-giving, God-ordained, God-anointed relationship is being put to death, and it's not God's will. I'm praying to God this year, 2013, may you find someone, get recommissioned back into your life once again that should be in your life. Amen? I'm praying to God that happens. Let's look now at number two, connected to a local church. Number two, Ruth chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. The second divine connection is connected to a local church. What's the first thing the disciples did who were trained by Jesus 3.5 years and went through the day of Pentecost, getting filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? The first thing they did is establish local churches. Not little house churches, not little bless me groups. They established apostolic, prophetic, fivefold ministry, local churches. Amen? Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 goes on and says this. There was a relative of Naomi, Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, that's God our Father, cattle of 1,000 hills, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz, kinsman redeemer. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. She said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left, and she went, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. I'm going to stop there and say again, many things that God does, even for local church findings, are by happen chance. Some of you guys are here because you saw the sign out front. You might have heard someone talk to you at a beauty shop or a HEB grocery store. Many times you find places like this by happen chance, and it's God being a blessing to your life for that. Amen. Verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. They answered back to him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it's a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. Then verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen. Notice that. You will listen, my daughter. Will you not? Do not go to glean in another man's field. And do not go from here. But it says, stay close to my servant girls or my young women, is what it says. New King James Version. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you, lay hands on you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. I want to kind of break these things down in a quick way this morning here about local church involvement. First thing I want to say is when you find a local church, use what I call the John Osteen principle. And that is follow peace and follow favor. Whatever local church you go to, there should be peace. I feel a peace in this place. And I also, in due time, I'm sensing God's favor on me also in this place. Those two things should always be in your business, your workplace, the city you move to, neighborhood you go to, and the church you belong to. There should be always the two things of peace and favor to begin with. Now, I want to say also, because there's imperfect people in the church like this also, the peace thing won't always be as strong as you might think it needs to be as time goes by. Because distortion will take place in every covenant relationship in your life. But that's why God says, my peace passes all understanding. Well, she's talking about me behind the back. She's actually gossiping about me. She's slandering me. She's cutting me down behind the back, so forth, so on. Well, that's a peace that comes on you that passes understanding. Do not flee, get mad, and go. But to put roots down deeper and say, I'll go through distortion and I'll be recommissioned here in Jesus' name. Amen? Look back at verse 2, what it says here. Verse 2, Ruth chapter 2. Ruth says, please let me go in the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose eyes or sight I may find favor. Follow peace and favor. She's saying this to who? To the Holy Spirit, to Naomi. She's saying, please, Holy Spirit, give me a peace that I may get behind the reapers and the servants whosever eyes I find favor in. I want peace and I want favor. That's what Ruth says right here. Next of all, observe here also the reapers are talked about in verses 3 through 7. Reapers, reapers, reapers. Who's a reaper? Reapers are actually delegated authorities. Reapers are James Kreitz. Reapers are Chad Lewis. Reapers are Pastor Cheryl. Reapers are those involved in the nursery, the sound booth. The leaders of a church are the reapers, okay? They're reaping a harvest. They're doing a ministry. They're heading something up in the realm of the Spirit in a local church. It's mentioned time and time again in verses 3 through 7. But then verse 8 goes on. Boaz, God the Father, the Jesus Christ himself type here, says back to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? There's that Simeon progression. He says, I've heard about your pain. I've heard about your misery. I've heard about all the afflictions back in Moab you went through. And I'm going to say to you right now, are you listening and hearing what God is saying to you, Ruth? Can you hear his voice? Number two, progression. So he says, don't glean in somebody else's field, nor go from here, but stay close by. Notice this, next of all, not my reapers, but my young servant women and girls. I want to say right now, this is a very, very powerful point right now I want to say to speak to you guys, and that is when you go to a local church, even to a new business or new job, always, always, always look for the servant-hearted people in that church and that business and that workplace and stay as close to them as you can. Amen? If you find folks who are backbiting, slandering, and gossiping and cutting folks down in the church, the business, so forth, hold them at arm's length. They're poison to your soul. Amen? The Bible says, New Testament says, mark those who cause division among you. That means mark them and say, hold them back at harm's length. But embrace those, the opposite is, embrace those who bring addition and united things among you, says the Lord. So I'm saying, always look for servant-hearted people in Jesus' name. You say, well, those are guys, those are all bootlickers. Those are all kissers of whatever. No, those are people who've learned to be under the authority of Almighty God and respect authority and respect God and respect God's people that God touches as reapers in Jesus' name. Amen? You know, in our nation, again, our culture is to be independent, rise up, be competitive, dog eat dog, don't hold ladders, tear ladders down. God says, my kingdom does not work like that. If you want to be great in my kingdom, do what? Be a servant of all mankind. Moving on here. Let's see what it says next of all. Rely on God for promotion and responsibility in a local church you go to. Amen. Verse 9 verifies it. Verse 9 says, let your eyes be on the field in which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men, delegated authorities, not to touch you or lay hands on you suddenly? The Bible says what? Lay hands on no man suddenly, but know those who labor among you. What God is saying to you and I is, again, don't be impatient with God's process in local churches. God will bring promotion. God will bring responsibilities to you in due time and in due season. Amen? If you knock down doors yourself and make room for yourself, you've got to keep yourself in that position. And you can't do it because the grace of God won't be there for that. You need God's grace to be wherever God puts you at in the local church. Amen? When I was going to Shoreline Christian Center for 9 years, I found out what is Pastor Rob Koch's vision. I got behind his vision. I got behind his field. I got behind his harvest. I was out there doing work in their Halloween deal, alternative thing. I was doing work there with Pastor Sam Mata. I helped out D.R. Dickey. I was helping out the guy named Bob Bryden. I found out who the reapers were and got behind those guys and served behind those guys. And in due time, they made us become missions pastors of the entire church. I'm saying I've seen how God does this, not just at Shoreline Christian Center, but also at Durbin Christian Center and also another church we was at called Church of Rock on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas. I've learned a long time ago, find out what the harvest reapers are doing in a local church you go to. Get behind that. Be content with that. And in due time, God will give you your own field in due time and due season. Amen. That's just how God works. Then last of all, in this point, deal with thirst legitimately. Notice what it says in verse 9. Last part of verse 9 says this. When you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men, delegated authorities, have drawn. What's that mean spiritually? What it means to me is, when you're getting thirsty and saying, I need more of God's presence. I need more of God's life. I need to see more souls getting saved. I need to have my bitterness and anger and all my depression gone from me. God is saying, don't rely upon every person that comes through town in a hotel room or some little church or some little group somewhere. Go to the vessels that God's placed in your local church first and say, what supply do you have, perhaps, to pour into my life? I need help in this area, brother and sister. And though their gifting might not be as big as the person in the hotel room may be at that point, God will still honor your obedience above your sacrifice and bring forth many times breakthroughs to you only He can bring. Last of all, number 3, connected to God. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, connected to God. God wants 3 divine connections, connected to each other, connected to a local church, connected to God Himself. Let's read now, Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. And so it says, she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, said to Boaz, to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered back and said to her, it's been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law, the Holy Spirit, Naomi, since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father, your mother, your lands of your birth. And it says, and have come to a people whom you did not even know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have now come for refuge. That's, again, a whole giant message in itself. But can you see the types and shadows being connected to God there in those verses? Look at verse 14, moving on. Verse 13 also goes on and says, he then served communion to her. He gave her parched grain and wine vinegar to drink. He served communion with her. Intimacy took place among them. Then verse 14 goes on and says, now Boaz said to Ruth at mealtime, come here, eat the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the wine vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched, cooked grain to her. Notice what it says next of all. And she ate, was satisfied, and had some left over, and kept back some. That is what God is saying to me so strong right now this year, 2013, at the first part of this year at Tree of Life Church as well. And that is, God wants all of us to be so full of Him, we always have some left over when we're finished being in God's presence. Amen? You see here again the pattern of Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, being drawn close to God. There's a time right now where God is saying to us, I believe very strongly, quit seeking just my anointing, because my anointing talks about my workings in you and through you to others. Your work to the body of Christ comes by anointing. What God wants is not more anointing, but God wants more of His presence released here among us in services like this. Amen? Now, why do I say that? Because God's presence is where God shows up and God does the work, not a man doing the work. The anointing makes a man do the work. God's presence causes God to do the work. And what God does when God shows up, sometimes during praise and worship time, when God shows up in His divine presence, blind eyes open automatically. Demons start manifesting, getting cast out automatically. Broken bones start mending. Cancers start going away. Deaf folks start hearing. The mute start to speak. Just by God's presence in the place. That has happened thousands of times around the earth in the past several centuries. And God is still doing that even today. I want to give you guys right now a $5 word. And that $5 word is a word called charismaton. Charismaton. What's that word mean? It means that God shows up in His own sovereign presence and releases His power, healing, and miracles with no man laying hands on nobody in that place. A charismaton. Tumors fall off. Marriages get healed. Repentance breaks out. God's glory shows up. A charismaton happens. Miracles, signs, and wonders automatically break loose by God's presence. I believe that we are people in Tree of Life Church that can see that happening more and more and more among us. I heard Here's so many folks saying, I sense God's presence in this place. May it increase more and more. We've only touched the tip of the iceberg. There's still so much more depth to God's presence that God wants to do. I'm not trying to find gold dust and clouds and feathers. Those things can come if they want to come. I want God's face and God's presence here among us. I want you guys to be so full of God. When you leave this place on a Sunday morning, you find yourself calling upon His name on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Because there's a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And you're being filled again and again and again and coming to a place like this with overflow in your life. Ruth was satisfied and had some she kept back that was left over for the people she'd come in contact with, namely Naomi, her mother-in-law, who needed grain from her grain bags. James is back to the platform now, please, James. I'm saying today that Boaz, a type of the father-son combo. He represents the father and the son both. He shows Ruth displaying the marks of one who rightly connects to God. First of all, we find these three things. I'm going to write these three things down in closing. Ruth had thankfulness and gratitude. She was thankful and she was grateful. It says, why have I found favor that you take notice of me? That's a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ pulled you out of darkness, saved you from all your sins, from eternally darkness away from God, healed your bodies, blessed your life with sustenance and more than enough? Be grateful. Be thankful every day. Number two, there are people that value the Holy Spirit. Boaz said, Ruth, it's been fully reported to me all that you've done for Naomi, the Holy Spirit, in your life. How do you take and how do you honor the Holy Spirit? You don't grieve Him. You don't vex Him. You watch what you watch. You watch what you listen to. You watch what you speak. You watch what you think. You watch what you read. Not because you're legalistic and bound up by religion, but because you want the Holy Spirit to be strong in your life. Not to be scared away, frightened away, grieved, wounded, that He has pain and leaves your presence to a degree. He'll never leave you nor forsake you totally, but He'll leave you to as far as the closeness and intimacy goes in your life. Then number three, they're people of obedience. He said, you left your father, left your mother, left your lands. You obeyed God's voice. You'll not be rewarded for that. That same verse is found where? New Testament. Jesus Christ, the disciple, says, you that have left homes, fathers, mothers, and lands will receive 100-fold more in this life and the life to come, eternal life, because you obeyed me. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now. And I close this time out for divine connections. I want to ask you this morning, what's your reward? If I receive a divine connection of people, what's my reward? If you're right now a person that's saying, I have enough friends, I can't handle any more friends, my calendar is already filled up with social events, I say the Lord's going to give you grace for one more friend. One more friend. Amen? I pray to God the day that you take and choose this morning. In the year 2013, when I see December 31st roll around, I'm going to have at least one new close acquaintance from this local church in Jesus' name. Because I'm going to invest time. I'm going to get aggressive. I'm going to get on my telephone, my Facebook, my texting. I'm going to do whatever it takes there to make one new friend, at least one new friend this year in Jesus' name. In my local church, I'm going to see what the vision is of the house. I'm going to get behind the reapers, the delegated authorities. I'm going to search out the servant girls, those who have a servant's heart, who are full of life out of their mouths, out of their actions, their attitudes. And I'm going to serve behind them. In whatever field they're in, I'm going to be in that field with that harvest, reaping that kind of grain in Jesus' name. I'm going to die to my vision, my field, my harvest, my passions for a season to pick up somebody else's. Number three, I'm going to connect to God. I'm going to say, Father God, give me so much of your presence. I have an overflow. When I come to the body of Christ together, when I go out there in the grocery stores, in the workplace, I have got an overflow of your presence in my life. Ruth chapter 2, verse 15, the reward is talked about right here. It says, and when Ruth rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men and said, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach or embarrass her. Also let grain fall from the bundles on purpose for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke or embarrass her, says the Lord. When you obey God in divine connections, He gives you handfuls of blessings on purpose. Amen? We saw God do it in our lives only a couple of weeks ago, walking the dog in a middle school football field, picked up a $100 gift card for gasoline. 70 bucks was still on it. That's what I call handfuls of blessings on purpose. God's going to show you sometimes things around you, handfuls of blessings on purpose. And God may say, sow that, give that, release that. Or God may say, I want to bless you and use this for your own grace and your own goodness, whatever else. But I'm just saying the main thing is God gives us handfuls of blessings on purpose. Holy Spirit, even now, as I close this service in a moment, Holy Spirit, again, show me what to pray, what to focus on, Father. Yes, yes, oh God. The Holy Spirit just spoke back real fast right there and said, He wants to drive home that point of recommissioned. I want you to think about right now a person that you've gone through those first steps of relationship. Divine connection took place. Distortion took place. But then came the realm of conflict. And separation happened. God wants you to be a person that has wisdom. To see, Father God, should this thing reconnect once again? Or is that a relationship that you wanted to stay at arm's length for now, for a season? One pastor one time I talked to in Dallas had a prophetic ministry that came through, a very powerful prophetic ministry, but this guy was doing some things that really got on his nerves. It was not ethical in the pulpit and so forth. This pastor said that my relationship with that prophet now is we are on sabbatical in our relationship. We're on sabbatical. And that was kind of funny, kind of chuckled by that. But the good news is now as the months and years have gone by, they're back together once again in fellowship once again. God is saying that He wants to take in, I believe, redig some wells of relationship, reconnect some people that have been at ought with each other, and give you the grace and the wisdom to know what to do yourself to try to reconnect in the way that God has for you. Some of you guys have come to our local church here, reconnecting in a local church once again. I pray we can receive you guys with grace and love and patience and wisdom and blessings. And may you find your place in this local church. May you take root. May your roots go down deeply in the name of Jesus. And may you find divine appointments and divine friendships take place. But I'm saying you guys also be aggressive in your own way. Invite folks around. Invite folks out to lunch. Invite folks over to go see movies or whatever. And let God knit hearts together. Let's pray right now if we would, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's all just even stand to our feet right now. Let's all stand up. Let's all take and even join hands together. Let's just join hands, begin to pray one for another, because there's people around you right now that I believe need to reconnect with somebody that you are right now at odds with.